I don't remember those years very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the 11th canto, chapter 13, text 36. The Hamsa Avatar answers questions. Deham cha nashvaram avastitam utitam va siddho na pashyati yato ajagamat swarupam daivat apetam atta daiva vishad upetam vaso yata parikritam madira madanda deham chanashvaram avastitam utitam va. Siddho na pashyati yato yagamat swarupam daivad apetam atta daiva vishad upetam vaso yata parikritam madira madanda okay, others? Daivada petam atta daiva vishada petam.
Thank you.
Deham, the material body. Cha, also. Nashvaram, to be destroyed. Ashtitam, seated. Utitam, risen. Va, or. Siddha, one who is perfect. Napashyati, does not see. Yata, because. Ajagamat, he has achieved. Swarupam, his actual spiritual identity. Daivat, by destiny. Apetam, departed. Ata, or thus. Daiva, of destiny. Vaishat, by the control. Upetam, achieved. Vasa, close. Yata, just as. Parikritam, placed on the body. Madira, of liquor. Mada, by the intoxication. Anda, blinded. Translation. Just as a drunken man does not notice if he's wearing his coat or shirt, similarly, one who is perfect in self-realization and who has thus achieved the eternal identity does not notice whether the temporary body is sitting or standing. Indeed, if by God's will the body is finished, or if by God's will he obtains a new body, a self-realized soul does not notice, just as a drunken man does not notice the situation of his outward dress. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A Krishna conscious person who has achieved his spiritual identity does not accept the sense gratification in the material world as the goal of his life. He is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord and knows that the temporary body and flickering mind are material. By superior intelligence in Krishna consciousness, he remains engaged in the Lord's service. The example of a drunken man in this verse is very nice. It is common knowledge that at mundane social gatherings, men become drunk and lose all awareness of their external situation. Similarly, a liberated soul has already achieved his spiritual body and therefore knows that his continued existence does not depend on the material body. A liberated soul does not, however, inflict punishment on the body, but rather remains neutral, naturally accepting his destiny as the will of the Lord. Om Agnate Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschacha Desa Tarane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamani Madhu Jochala Premaja Shri Rupanuga Bhakti Da Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namo Varshavanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Namaste Gauravane Shri Murtaye Dinatarane Rupanuga Viruda Apasadanta Dvanta Harane Namo Gorakishoraya Sachid Varagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambo De Padambujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachid Ananda Namane Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Rupanuga Varayate Gora. What is it? Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Jagannathaya Te Namaha Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavane Shuri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Okay, very interesting. The first time I came to this temple, it was on a Sunday. Very ancient history, though. That this place was a broken down room, and there was about maximum 30 people at the Sunday feast. If that many, I don't know. And anyway, the history is interesting, but I was reading from this chapter because I didn't know exactly what to say and considering the conditions. But this one of my favorite sections is when the four Kumaras first, when the Hansa avatar first came. They ask, who are you? So we get questioned a lot, how are you? So I always think of this one. If when you're asking me who I am, you believe that I am also a jiva soul and that there's no ultimate difference between us, since all souls are ultimately one without individuality, then how is your question possible or appropriate? Ultimately, what is the real situation and resting place, both of yourselves and of me? So I guess that was, they were Brahmavadis, you know, not exactly Mayavadis. Mayavadis are against the personality of Godhead, but Brahmavadis don't know for sure. So they're mostly thinking it like this. Then he says, if you're saying, who are you? You are referring to the material body. I must point out that all material bodies are constituted of five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Thus, you should have asked, who are you five? If you consider that all material bodies are ultimately one, being constituted essentially of the same elements, then your question is still meaningless, since there would be no deep purpose in distinguishing one body from another. Thus it appears that in asking my identity, you are merely speaking words without any real meaning or purpose. So he started out by sort of insulting them. But, you know, when people say, how are you, what do they mean? The mind, the body, the soul. The soul is described in the Bhagavad Gita. It can't be killed or burnt or get sick or get old or any of those things. So if that's what we're asking about, then we should know already. The mind is flickering and unsteady and always disturbed in Kali Yuga. And the body is full of the threefold miseries. Sometimes we think it's all right. Right? We get an illusion and think, I'm fine. Right? I'm young, or I'm, you know, feeling good today, or I walked up the stairs, I must be something good, you know. But it's always rotting away and full of adi daivik and adi bhotik and adi atmic misery. But when one is self-realized, this is an interesting example. I don't know if any of you have ever been drunk. Because I know in India everybody's, you know, religious and follows all the principles. Actually, India is the world's champion whiskey consumers now. But, you know, they have more people. Even quite a few more than China now. But they're coming up in many ways. And spiritually also, in Krishna consciousness, they're also way ahead of everybody. So a drunken person is not aware so much of whether he's cold or hot or clothed properly, or, you know, it can do anything practically. I saw in Tokyo one time, there was a drunken guy, and he was really drunk. The police in Japan, they're very super polite. You know, it's quite interesting. So this guy was standing, and he just kind of, and he just went dunderbutt, you know. And so the policeman said, you know, and they helped him get up. I'm fine, but no problem, I'm all right. So they let him alone. And after a while, it, boom, again. And again, the next time he fell, and he broke his nose or what, but he was bleeding all over. I'm fine, no problem, leave me alone, I'm all right, you know. So that's the condition. Now, most people, it's like we say, daydream and nightdream. Even if they're awake, they're an illusion, they're just dreaming, you know, because they're just relating to the body, which is a worse condition. So we're like intoxicated anyway. No, I'm fine. Everything's all right. You know, this is the stupidity of it, especially the sudras. I heard one old song in America that they have one type of music called country western, and it's a sudra oriented. I got money in my pocket and gas in the tank, you know. Everything's all right. You know, it's better than having money in the bank. You know, they get Friday night and I just got paid. No problem, you know. And Saturday, they're broke. Saturday morning. Friday night, they're partying. They're buying drinks for everybody and being popular. And then the next morning, sick and no money left, only to get back to work again on Monday. But I'm all right. I got a car. I can do whatever I want. You know, I got a nice family. But so they're intoxicated in that way. Mudda, madness. These are the enemies of the conditioned soul. Lust, anger, greed, envy, and madness. Mental disease, but they don't know it. You know, even the most, you know, seemingly okay person, they're intoxicated. They're thinking, I'm this body, and everything is all right. Some people have a so-called religion, like in America, and they think they're Christians, and they just think, I'm going to heaven. no such thing as hell, or Jesus saved me, or something. Sahajas, thinking like that. You know, I pray, I do my pious activities, or I'm a good person, no problem. You know, but as long as we're thinking with this body, then we're just, you know, so self-realized, there's other descriptions as one that if we go on the Vrajmandala Parikrama barefoot, you'll realize very greatly at the end. It says, like, just like if a man has good shoes, then he doesn't feel the thorns and stones and everything. So if you walk barefoot around Vraj for 1 month, and then you put on your shoes, you'll understand this. So the self-realized person is not so much aware whether the body is hot or cold or weak or strong or sick, and he doesn't care. But it doesn't mean for Prahlad, it says he never thought about getting dressed or eating or anything. It just went on automatically. Krishna just, he never had to think about it, you know, making plans. Like, I remember when I was in high school, I would lie down in the bed and look at my closet and be planning, you know, what clothes I would wear the next day. How I would match up my socks and my shirt and, you know, whatever I was thinking. So, this foolishness. But the self-realized person is not like they don't take care of it. They don't have to think about it. It just goes on automatically. It's faith in Krishna. You don't notice the pains and pleasures. They're there, but we don't get controlled by them. Yesham twantikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dwanda moha nirmukta vajanti mam dridavrata. When we can conquer over the dualities, dwanda, and we have many dualities that are listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita especially, starting with heat and cold and happiness and distress. And all the other dualities are just because we think something will give me happiness and something else won't, right? If I get money, I'll be happy. If I can go here or there, I'll be happy. If I can get this object of my senses, then I'll be happy. If I don't get it, I'll be unhappy. If I get something else, you know. So we get controlled by those things. But those are all temporary conditions. What makes us happy, like now it's hot, so maybe we like to have a fan. Think I'm a fine, I got a fan. I got electricity, no problem. Right? Have air condition. In India especially, we like air condition. I remember when I was going around to offices, you know, I would take a big chudder with me, because in every office they had two air cones going and it was about 30 below, and outside was like, you know, 40, but pretty weird, but it's crazy, you know. In Japan also in the summer it gets very hot. And then, but you get on the subway and it's really cold. You know, they had to make a few cars that aren't so cold because the old people couldn't take it, you know. And in the winter, it's quite cold outside. If you go in a department store or something, it's like, you know, and you have all these jackets on and everything from outside, and then you go inside and it's so hot, and so everybody gets sick. The constant changing climates, you know. Normally the climates change, you know, a few times a year, but nowadays it's changing so many times every day. And that when the opening of the Vrindavan temple, the first class Prabhupada gave was at night in the temple room. Otherwise, it had been total chaos, you know, getting everything ready, and they had all this stuff going on with the deities. The deities were all out all over the place, and all these Brahmins. So nothing was going on in the morning. So he asked a few things. He asked for first canto. Nobody could find a book. And then the fan that's like there, it was going ka-chunk, 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 you know. And nobody could find the switch. The switch is inside the pujari room. So, and nobody knew anything about the temple, so they were running all over trying to turn off this fan. Finally, they turned off the fan. They said, Prabhupada, we don't have a first canto. He said, okay, bring the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, we'll read chapter 9. He said, if you read chapter 9, you can become free from envy. Interesting concept. If anybody's envious, most of us, and we get asked a lot, how do we get free from envy? By becoming Krishna conscious. That's the answer to all these how to. So Prabhupada said, see, we have this fan, so we think, no problem, I have a fan. So I'm not suffering from the heat. But we have the fan because we're suffering in the first place. If you weren't suffering, you wouldn't need the fan, you wouldn't need the air conditioning, you wouldn't need the heater, you don't need that ever. But, you know, in the north, where I come from, the summer is very, very hot, the winter is extremely cold, you know, dualities. And my family would take holiday to Florida in the winter. And at that time, Americans, they didn't travel so much. You know. And the people in Florida, they, you know, snow, what's that, you know. And we'd come back and say we were swimming. How can you go swimming in the winter? You know, didn't know that it's different winters. But the people that live there, it's that, you know, it would be really boring to live in a place where the weather was nice all the time. That would be horrible. This is what makes life interesting. That every morning you have to jump start your car or push it, you know, because you know, you turn on the key and it can't move, it's frozen. Or the wheels are frozen in the ice and you can't get out, you know, to get the car moving, and then your tire is flat, frozen on the bottom, and thumping. And, you know, that's what keeps life interesting, is all these changes, the dualities. It's exciting. But they're always there. They're just subtle. Some places they're subtle. People become more sensitive to changes. But, you know, we're... So Krishna says over and over again, equal in happiness and equal in victory and defeat, equal in honor and dishonor, equal in fame and infamy. You know, all the things we want honor, but we don't want to be dishonored. We want to be praised, we don't want to be insulted, right? Who wants to be insulted? You know? Except for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Because it might help you, you know, be a little humble. But and then no matter what we're trying to get out of the material world, it doesn't always happen. Prahlad is saying, you know, like happiness or distress comes without seeking distress. And even people that, I don't know if it's a fashion in India yet with young people, they're cutting themselves and burning themselves. And in England, they just consider it normal now. A devotee told me, doctor, you know, if it's not life-threatening, then it's okay, it's normal. But So they're causing pain, but for somehow that's giving them pleasure. Intoxication. They always forget that there's a hangover. Anybody experience that? Huh? Before you came, I hope. But hope not, actually. But, you know, the next day. But I must have had a good time because I don't remember anything. On the bed, I took the sheet off the bed in Kanpur, and there was a thin cover on the mattress, but the sign said, "Sleep Solutions for a Blissful Night." You know, that you can be completely unconscious, and that's called bliss. Right? The word bliss, you know, I think I knew the word. I had a big vocabulary, but I never heard anybody talking about bliss until I met devotees. And then they were always talking, bliss, ecstasy, you know, it's like devotees are saying that all the time. So it became a common word now. We saw one shop in Delhi on the Rath Yatra, Ananda Mattress Shop. 8 hours of bliss. Because life is so miserable. They're suffering so much. So if they can just sleep, like devotee Prabhupada said, I don't like to sleep. I don't like sleep. You know. Of course, Prabhupada didn't really sleep like we do, but we have to sleep, you know, sufficiently to enable to function. So even sleeping for devotees is service, because we have to take care of the body so that it can work the next day so we can chant. If we don't sleep enough, we'll be, you know, they do all these experiments and, you know, your memory goes way down and your ability to learn goes way down. So many things go wrong when people, and now many people never get enough sleep, because they have to work so much, and so much anxiety, or they have to be on the internet all night. It used to be television. When I was a kid, I would watch the late night television, but it ended at 12. So it wasn't so bad, you know. But now there's no end. And everything is 24 hours. They're desperate to fill up the time. You know, so we need to transfer that desire to Krishna, you know, keep busy in Krishna's service, have, you know, push. The materialists say get out of your comfort zone, you know, do something that's a challenge. Of course, just being a devotee is a challenge in the material world. But, you know, take on more. Krishna is very kind, so he'll usually push us, you know. You have to get this done. You know, Prabhupada was always pushing, you know. Devotees would come and proud they've done something, and then he'd say, "You should do twice as much." You know, he said, "Double it." Otherwise, we get lazy. You think I'm all right, you know. But how to get to the self-realized stage, you know, because it's not like we can't ignore the heat or the cold. Here we don't get cold, but if you go to Vrindavan in the winter, then it gets very cold, you know. So you need to have proper clothes and underclothes and socks and all these things that you don't need here. You have to travel with these things, you know, because going from one place to another, climates change and the external situations always changing. You never know what's going to happen next, you know. So that, you know, they have 24-hour weather reports. Some guy really excited telling you, here's the weather in Tokyo and here's the weather in Los Angeles. Oh, you know, what does it mean to you? But unless you're going to go there. But it might change by the time you get there anyway. Just happened to me recently. I was in Israel, so the weather was pretty good. And then I went to Greece, which is just very close. The day I left, it was 35 degrees there, and when I got there, it went to 15. And huge wind and rain the whole time for 3 days. The day I left, it went back hot. So then I went to Dubai, where it was really hot, 45 or something, and then I went to Japan, and it was one day hot, the next day rain and cold, and you know, so you can't get too worried about these things, you know, all these dualities. So that we just know, okay, this is life, you know. You do the same thing like book distribution. I don't know here, but in, you know, one person will say, oh, this is great that you're doing this, you know, this is wonderful. Thank you. You made my day, you know. The next person, you know, screaming at you and saying, you know, you're rascals, you people, all you do is harass people and calling the police and screaming, you know, get this guy out of here, right? So which one are you going to take seriously? You have to, it's kind of easy sometimes to ignore the insults, but the praise is difficult to be neutral about it. But it all just life, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. No matter what you do, somebody's going to like it, somebody's not going to like it. You can't please everybody. You can't please your own mind, you know, because it's flickering and unsteady. But we want to come to that condition where we just steady, nishta, fixed up, that no matter what the external conditions are, we just go on trying to serve Krishna, not deviating. How we serve, you know, depending on time and circumstance, everything changes all the time. Different conditions in the material world change, you know, but really nothing changes. People are saying, we had one woman in China, she contacted devotees for a little while, learned a little bit, and then became like, she got a following saying, well, Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, but, you know, that now is so much different, so I've written, you know, the modern version of it. And she wrote this totally crazy book. Of course, I was lucky I couldn't read it, but just from the picture, she had pictures of, you know, our acharyas. She had Chairman Mao and Stalin and Hitler, everybody all mixed in, you know, just completely insane. But she got a following, you know, by saying that. And they do the same thing, that Jesus was 2,000 years ago, now it's obsolete. Buddha, you know, that's also, they're going to change. But nothing has really changed. The three modes of nature are still the same, right? But maybe the mode of ignorance is more prominent now. But it's still, sometimes there's a mode of goodness, sometimes there's passion. They're going to get mixed up. They're all competing. What the needs of the living entities, that anyone who has a material body, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, it hasn't changed. Right? And people more and more want to defend. You know. They want to defend themselves if someone doesn't agree with them. You know. Mostly they end up offending, but, you know, there's a word the best defense is a good offense or something. But and I hear your exalted speakers are always talking about cricket, and I don't know anything about cricket, so I can only give examples from American sports, which you don't know anything about. But, you know, you have to have both. Say in cricket, I guess it's like baseball. If you have really good hitters, but you don't have any bowlers, then you're not going to do very good, because you can't, the other team is going to score so much. You know, you have to have a defense, I'll say it. But, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And fear. Fearing, in the Sanskrit, it's by it, fearing. You know, that, so what are we afraid of? You know, people are fearful. Nowadays, more and more fearful. Countries have to build up their military, making newer and better weapons, and politicians are fearful of the vote, and they have to tell all kinds of lies to try to attract people. People are ultimately afraid of death, but they won't even admit that. And if you look on the internet, phobia, you know what phobia, anybody know? What's the definition of it? It's like an unfounded, intense fear. And they have phobia of everything. Just long, long lists. You know, basically, people are afraid of the dark, afraid of claustrophobia. They can't get in an elevator. They feel like, you know, they're going to get smashed in the room, and fear of religion, and fear of everything. They have Latin names or something. But that's, you know, psychological condition. People are fearful of spiders or fearful of dogs, and, you know, fearful of a crowd, fear of flying, fear of anything, you know. So this is eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. They have to eat. You're afraid you're not going to get food. Or you're afraid you're going to eat too much food. Or you're going to get the wrong food. You know. Eating, sleeping. You have to sleep. It's a huge business. Sleep shops, sleep clinics in America, they're all over the place. I saw some years ago the Jaslok Hospital. They opened the first sleep clinic in Bombay. That was a big event. The people can't sleep. And, you know, they try to help us to sleep without medication. But they tell people, well, turn off your cell phone. I can't do that. I might get an important call in the night. Okay, then we can't help you, right? No, you have to help me. No, yeah, take the medicine. You know, so turn off the lights, turn off the television. You know, so people are suffering. It's in the Bhagavatam. They can't sleep. They're in so much anxiety from the day. You know. And their body is so disturbed. So then if you can't sleep, everything goes wrong. So we need to seriously, you know, take care in living in this material world, you know, and get it right. A devotee is not afraid of anything because he knows Krishna is protecting him. Like Prahlad, he was never afraid of all the different tortures that Hiranyakasipu was arranging. Hiranyakasipu was afraid, even though he was so powerful. Kamsa was so powerful. He'd conquered Indra also, everybody. But he was afraid of the little baby, Krishna. And he didn't want to fight him himself until the end. And Ravana was afraid. He's so powerful, so proud, but afraid. Afraid of anybody that didn't agree with him. So Krishna, we have all these leelas, we have so many information, you know, how things work. This particular chapter is especially how the mind works, and it's quite technical and, you know, interesting, you know, how the Hansavatar is explaining these things. So it's worth studying over and over again, just like the Avanti Brahman, and that's also in the 11th canto. You know, he suffered so much, but his conclusion was it's all just due to the mind. You can't blame anybody else for our problems. Generally, everybody wants, we want to blame somebody. America, they, you know, if we eliminate these people, then we'll have no problem. If we wipe out this particular religion, no problem. We wipe out this country, no problem. But it's not true. Can't be done anyway. Only help is to rise above it, become Krishna conscious. And there's no way to do that without the Sankirtan movement. Somebody should do a search sometime and see how many times Prabhupada says that. It's almost every purport, almost every lecture, something comes up like that. So we have a great responsibility to think, you know, how to control the mind is to think about how to spread the holy name, make plans. People are making plans, you know. We need to make plans. You need to make plans for your business and your study maybe, or your marriage or whatever. Many people don't make plans now for marriage, so like Gaur Gopal says, love at first sight and divorce at first fight. You know, they don't realize what they're getting into. In many, many things. You know, you get a job, you know, but you get entangled. But if we're dedicating everything to Krishna, then the material entanglement isn't such a big disturbance. But we need to get entangled in Krishna, you know, in the association of devotees and in different activities. Or how are we going to find the ways and means to, you know, so many people are chanting, so many people know about Krishna, but so many more people, they don't know anything in the world, you know, even in India. But devotees are going, like, you know, to the tribal areas now, and those people are very submissive. We have competition, you know, different Christians come all over the world trying to, you know, madly convert everybody. And it's cheap, sahajya. We're offering, but most people just kirtan. The more we give kirtan, the more we find ways and means to promote the holy name, make it blissful, festivals or whatever, internet, and we can have a peaceful mind because we're making plans that are in line with Krishna. Same time, if someone has a business, you have to make plans, you know, how to keep the business going, how to increase it. Nowadays, they have to keep thinking of, you know, what new products and all these things. But we don't have to change products. We're lucky that way. We have the same books. We don't need different books. We have the same mantra. We don't need different mantras. We're the same religious principles. We don't need to change any of that, but we have to find all the people, find the markets and how to get to so many people. Many devotees are doing that. And there's no limit. Nobody's restricted. everybody can, you know, make plans to increase our own, you know, hearing and chanting, and how to get more people here. Teach the basic principles. But it all starts with chanting. You know, Prabhupada told us like that for, you know, kirtan. Don't preach too much. You know, I heard one, some devotee went to a country, I don't know where it was. He didn't know the language. And he got a big crowds, and he had kirtan and prasadam, and a lot of people were coming. And then a devotee came who knew the language and spoke, and the next week nobody came. And he said, "What did you tell him?" He said, "Well, I told him about the regulator principles." You can't push that on people, you know. They panic. Not some people, if we get close to someone, some people are very happy to hear. I know when I heard about it, I was very happy to hear that that's the right thing to do, you know. Because, you know, I was so tired of trying to enjoy the material world, but many people, they just think, you know, like the Bhagavad Gita says that they think that to gratify the senses until the end of life is the goal of life. And that's mentioned in this purport also. That's not the goal of life, you know. Every animal, everybody's gratifying their senses, you know, according to what they want. But the human life especially is meant to get beyond it and to gratify the Krishna, then automatically we're satisfied. You get make Krishna happy, he'll make you happy. When we approach people to tell them about Krishna, we become very happy because the Krishna in the heart of that person is very happy that we're taking the trouble to try to give them Krishna. Even if their mind doesn't want it at the time, the super soul in their heart is happy and something happens. You know, they begins by associating with devotees even for a moment. So time is running out, I think. So any questions or comments or reflections or whatever? I went around and around a lot. I'm used to having to stop all the time for translators. So if I'm just talking without having to stop, I get carried away. Anybody? No, good. Everybody completely convinced? Yeah, just think how to spread the holy name, how to distribute more books. The devotees in Bali, they on October 2nd, they started the Gita Marathon. And they got really fired up. I was surprised. And so they have all kinds of events coming up to Gita Jayanti. They say there'll be 10,000 yoga people there and the president of the country coming. Devotees all over the world doing things like this. Here also, so much. So now, and like I said, when I first came here, I don't know when that was. Must have been in the 80s. This room was really broken down, and there was just 20, 30 devotees at the Sunday feast. But now for many years, the room is exploding at the walls with guests on the Sunday feast and outside and everywhere. Because a few devotees just dedicated to trying to give Krishna to others and live a proper spiritual life. So we have a long way to go to get everybody in Bombay mega city, they call it. How many people? People are naturally pious. I went up to the Babelnath yesterday, and you know, they're really into it. They have faith, but we don't know what we have to teach them, you know, what they should be praying for. Mostly people are praying, you know, for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Let that go very nicely. Let me have nice facility. But those things come and go automatically by our destiny, but we create our own destiny. So, you know, just think how to help others, and then Krishna automatically helps us. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Shri Gopalji Ki Jai. Right? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Same old class again and again. You can go back to